The Wasteland. The near future. Movie clerk David Snyder and overlord Immortan Hoof fight to rid the decaying landscape of the cinematic naivety which infests it. After being told that their animation output is lagging, Apocalypse Video is outfitted by Dave with increased cartoon coverage and a computer-enhanced theme song. It has become the ultimate super pod, Robopod.
Welcome to another episode of the Apocalypse Video, Robopod. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Ruler of the Wasteland, Overlord of Citadel, All Man, All Hoof, Immortan Hoof.
That's me.
Well, that's me.
Present.
Say, Mr. Hoof, it looks like you have something to say. Do you?
I do. So, well, there's two things, actually, I just thought of. First, this is going to be episode 6, and 6 is, if you do 666, it's an evil number. So, never mind. That was
do you think that's what they were trying to imply with the hot seat?
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about an episode called The Hot Seat.
The previous episode we did for The Brotherhood, I said that that was probably my favorite episode thus far of the series. This one might be one of my least favorite so far. This one was kind of a lame one.
Okay, well, I don't know if the writer, Marv Wolfman, would take kindly to those words. So at the beginning of every episode, if I think there's a noteworthy name attached to it, I want to make sure I mention it because I think that's interesting. Like we had Donald F. Glut before for Project Despor, who wrote the novelization of Empire Strikes Back. So for the hot seat, Marv Wolfman, he's actually the co-creator of the character Blade.
What?
Yeah, so Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan, who's one of my favorite pencilers, who did a lot of great work on Doctor Strange, Gene Colan and Marv Wolfman co-created Blade for Marvel.
Well, you know, that makes sense because this show was like from Marvel Television. So it doesn't surprise me that you got some Marvel people working on this show.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool that the co-creator of Blade actually wrote an episode of this. So so that's kind of cool. I like that a lot.
But not his best work. I gotta say this episode was pretty lame. Like so, Hoof, do you want to explain the general synopsis of this one?
Well, I guess this episode, there's two things going on, but the actual premise of the episode is that the Vandals, I guess we saw them before, they get broken out of prison and they steal RoboCop's chair.
And it's his recharge chair.
It's all about trying to get RoboCop's chair
I was
back.
So sick of hearing about this goddamn chair by the end of the episode. That was another reason I didn't like this. They said recharge chair or chair like 100 times in this episode.
See, I think I'm actually the complete opposite of you. Like, this might be one of my favorite episodes.
Just
what? I think so. You were talking about how it was so goofy with the robots going wacky and stuff like that in Brotherhood and stuff like that. I think it's so goofy that they stole RoboCop's chair. Like, that's just I just think that is so wacky and fun. Like, oh, we're going to defeat our enemy by stealing his chair.
Well, it's like, that's the stupid thing about this episode. So the reason that the Vandals escape is because the evil Dr. McNamara, who's just fucking just tired of RoboCop and his antics, constantly getting the spotlight, he decides, all right, if I'm ever going to be able to get my fucking Ed 209 out on the street and making me the fucking famous guy, I need RoboCop out of the picture. So I'm going to bust the Vandals out of prison. They'll steal his goddamn chair that they just will not stop talking about. And then I'll be the fucking, you know, toast of the town. The only problem is, it's just like, why not just destroy the chair? Just tell them to destroy the chair and then they're golden. But instead, it's like, no, I want you to steal it and bring it back to me. But then the Vandals, because they're fucking just, you know, idiots, are just like,
Dave.
Psychologically. Or whatever, however wrong he says it. But
so how come we're just sitting here?
Yeah, I'm itching for some hot action.
Simmer down, headhunter.
When you're negotiating, you gotta use psychology. Huh?
But it's just, yeah, it's like the whole episode, like I kept thinking about my phone, honestly, like at the fact, like RoboCop to me in this series, especially in this episode, feels like any phone I ever had, where it's just like, God damn it, I've had this thing for like 4 months and the battery's just shit now. And I'm like constantly recharging it. That's all I was thinking about in this episode was like, damn, I probably have to recharge my phone.
That's kind of funny because I think that shows like, I think that is like, you're thinking about the flaws of RoboCop, which I think this episode kind of shows that a legit flaw of RoboCop. Like before, I think that when you had RoboCop like malfunction or you had a weakness of RoboCop, it was more on his human side. But this actually like shows a weakness of his build. So I don't know. I'm kind of taking away like how interesting I think this is. Like this is his kryptonite, right? Like they take away this and then RoboCop's just done for.
I mean, I guess it does tackle something that the movies never really did, at least in full detail, because the movies, like, they have his chair in the movies. And since, I mean, I guess you can assume that RoboCop needs to recharge to some degree. I mean, he does have downtime in the movies, like, where he's just sort of, like, I guess they call it sleeping. Like, RoboCop needs to quote-unquote, sleep. And I assume recharge, but they never flat out say recharge in the movies. It's just him, like, just, you know, downtime, or you could say maybe he's getting updates or some shit like that. But they never go as far as to show like a power meter on RoboCop, which we see, I think, almost every episode. Yeah. He gets hit by something in every episode. It's like, ugh, power down 70% or some shit like that. Like, but it's ever present in this episode. And I guess you're right. I guess that is kind of a thing, because otherwise RoboCop would just be indestructible and it just wouldn't be as interesting.
Yeah, they literally show him getting shot like this in the beginning of this episode when they're on the train, right? And then Lewis is behind him and he's just getting shot with all the laser beams and he's just like, oh, just hide behind me, Lois. And he's just taking all the bullets. So he's just like, I like that aspect that they're bringing in this kind of legit weakness of RoboCop. But I want to talk about my favorite scene in this episode, and that's
the village people robbing the train. Those guys were lit. It looked like fucking the cop from Village People, Che Guevara, and fucking Sting from Dune. Didn't he look like Sting?
Yeah,
I mean, he had like the vest on
the Che guy, because I think that he was right on, like, that was supposed to be Che.
Oh, for absolutely. But the hair, I swear to God, whoever was animating this episode had just recently watched Dune, because that guy looked exactly like Sting.
Do exactly what I say, Mr. Engineer, or this is going to be the little train that couldn't. Got it? Empty your pockets, man. I want everything, including the lint.
Yeah. That whole gang of, what were, they were called like the scavengers or something?
Empty your pockets, man. I want everything, including the lint.
Yeah, including the lint.
Surprise, people. Like, I love that they give every, like, this was kind of a trademark of the 80s cartoons. Like, there's always one guy that talked like this, you know. Like, there's always one bad guy that talked like Cobra Commander.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to do a deep dive in like the genealogy of the villain and like how certain things like that crazy voice popped up or some other of the weird outfits that they usually have these guys wearing. That'd be pretty funny.
Well, you know what it probably is, just on a real level, it's probably like, you know, either if it's not one guy, it's maybe a couple guys who are doing, you know, because it was like a lot of the same people doing voices for these cartoons back in the day. So it's probably like one or a couple guys just like putting a slight twist on, like, basically it was probably them saying like, oh, this is bad guy voice number one that I have that, yeah, I go to.
For sure. Yeah. Voice acting is pretty interesting. I think that maybe at the end we could spotlight some of the voice actors if we can find that information, because I think that's a kind of an underrated profession. I think that, you know, for these cartoons they're critical, and so I think that's kind of cool that we could do that. So maybe that's something we could spotlight a little bit later.
For sure, yeah.
But I want to talk about my favorite scene, and that's the jailbreak scene. And the reason that this is my favorite is because I think legitimately this is the most This is the craziest jailbreak scene I've ever seen. Like, a full-on tank breaks into the jail to bust these guys out.
Well, it makes me wonder, how did no one, like, stop that or try to stop that tank as it fucking drove, conceivably, from OCP all the way to the fucking prison? Like, yeah, nobody said anything or saw anything?
Oh, it's just another day in Detroit.
Just exactly.
A tank driving by. Oh, there goes Che Guevara. just another day in Detroit.
Oh God, I forgot all about the Vandals. Like, it was only like a few episodes back when we saw them, but I forgot all about them. And more importantly, I forgot about the guy's robot dog.
Oh yeah.
Like, I can't remember. Does you remember the name of the dog?
No, I don't remember, but...
Because he, like, pats its head, too.
And I think
that... It's just ridiculous.
So they were keeping the robo-dog in the pound.
That's right. It's not... Yeah. For a split second, I misremembered it and thought, oh, wait, was the robot dog, in with the rest of their shit that, like, the police, like, in the prison, like, put
oh,
away?
No, no,
you know
no,
what I mean?
Yeah, because he... well, when they get in the tank, that's when McNamara's like, oh, turn around. And he opens this door inside the tank and their equipment's all there.
But... Oh, that's what it was. Oh, okay, I misremembered it. Like, I for some reason, I thought they, like... got into, like, the prisoner, like, possession area or something like that.
But, no, okay. Somehow McNamara had all their equipment. I'm assuming he just probably built a new version of it all. But I didn't even really click that this was the same group until that guy got his flamethrower, because I remembered him.
Well, I remember the chainsaw guy who literally chainsaws everything.
Oh, yeah. Even in this episode, he chainsaws the phone on the wall.
Yeah. Well, who among us hasn't wanted to chainsaw off their phone?
Listen here, you lousy thief. If it wasn't for me, you'd still be walking in that jail. Here's what I think of you, big man. Looks like we got cut off.
But I really think the more I think about this episode, I think this might be my favorite, just because so I just love this idea that they use a tank to break into the prison. And then it's kind of, and then you have this idea that they're still RoboCop's chair, right? And so that's kind of funny to me too. And then the best part is that the Vandals, they get stuck with the chair.
So, well, yeah, because McNamara rightly, and I don't know why he didn't just think of this before, so he's like, why do I need the goddamn chair? It's like RoboCop's almost like dead on power. It's like, just keep the fucking chair. I got what I wanted anyway.
Yeah, but that's so funny because the Vandals, they steal the chair, right? And then they're like, oh, we're going to sell it back to McNamara. And then McNamara's like, screw you guys, I don't want it anymore. then they use the psychology, and then they're like, oh, we're going to sell it to the cops. So we're going to sell this back. And what do they want? They don't even do anything like money, because I legit thought that they were going to ask for money, because RoboCop, he says, because they call RoboCop and they say, oh, we got a deal for you, RoboCop. And he's like, what kind of deal? And I was like, oh, if they just ask for money, maybe they'll just do the straight up charade. But no, they say, oh, we want free reign of the city. So we just want to crime pass.
Just leave us alone while we do crooked shit, okay?
Yeah, we just want to do crime.
At least leave us the arcade. We love the arcade.
Yeah, so I love this idea that they couldn't sell it to two people, and so they're just stuck with this chair. And then that's when the Vandals are like, oh, well, let's just destroy it. Because they just want to destroy stuff. So there's all this stuff going on. And then, oh, this other thing, too, is that we didn't even talk about how they get the chair. They legitimately break into the police precinct and, like, mess up everybody and then steal the chair. And I was, like, getting flashbacks to Assault on Precinct 13. I'm like, oh, dang.
Well, they just gassed the joint.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So, like, they do this legit criminal operation that's just, like, kind of savage. I don't know. I just love this. This episode is bonkers.
They're, like... To me, like, the Vandals almost remind me of the people of Pawnee. It's just, like, they're idiots, but somehow they're able to organize and, like, complete tasks, which they probably shouldn't be able to do. You know, it's just like, when I say the residents of Pawnee, I'm talking about Parks and Recreation. I'm not talking about the real town of Pawnee back in the day. I'm talking about the fictional
one.
That's
where my grandma's from, damn it, David.
But it's just like these people, like the Vandals, like there's no way that they should be able to organize an attack on the police station, especially considering it's just like three or four of these guys.
No, there's five of them, Dave.
Oh, there's five of them. Excuse me. Well, it really goes to show how like unequipped and like crappy the police force is. Like if it wasn't for RoboCop, like, I don't know.
Well, they're used to calls of people messing with others' begonias. Don't you remember that other call that there was?
Or like Granny Smith's like shit. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was the same episode.
Oh, right.
A payroll heist.
Yeah, that was the true crime wave.
Yeah. But
One other thing we forgot to mention. So that's one half of the episode. The other half is early on, Che Guevara like holds Lewis hostage for a second, and then after they foil that scheme of robbing the commuters on the train for their purses and whatnot, RoboCop becomes concerned that he's putting Lewis's life in danger like all the time. So he's just like, I don't want a partner, like get out of here. But she's forced upon him essentially by the chief's like, no, you're a cop, you have a partner, Robo. But it's just like, this got me thinking, this made me realize, so every episode has had Lewis saying Murphy like several times, but none more so than in this episode. I feel like half of her dialogue in this episode is her just screaming Murphy.
Oh yeah,
and that's another factor as to why I did not care for this episode, because I became way more aware of her just saying Murphy all the time, and it became tiresome.
Murphy,
do not touch me.
Murphy!
There's nothing you can do, officer. It's too late.
Murphy, you saved me!
No, you saved me.
Murphy!
Okay, so I definitely will grant you that criticism as far as her autonomy. Like, it's definitely sacrificed in this episode. However, I do think there's one little tiny arc that they don't explore, but it gets out there, is that I think after the first moment where RoboCop, like, says, well, I don't want a partner or whatever, Lewis is pissed at Murphy, and she's like, you know, we were doing kind of fine. We were doing fine without you robots one time. And she says this like technophobic thing, and I'm like, oh crap. Ooh. That's like kind of like mature dialogue. Like, you're getting this, like, after, especially after we just watched The Brotherhood too, I was like, yeah. Oh man, Lewis is going technophobic on RoboCop. I was like, whoa, this is getting heavy. So they do that. So they do throw that out there, but then they never like kind of talk about it. But like, that's kind of what she says is kind of messed up. Like, if you take everything that we've seen so far, and like me, you take everything too serious. You're just like you hear this dialogue, like, whoa, Lewis is kind of being messed up right now.
Well, also, RoboCop wasn't born a robot. He was born a man.
Oh,
he was turned into a robot. It's not his fault.
And then another thing I like about this episode is that you have the doctor, RoboCop's doctor, that she also agrees with him that he should not have a partner. Like, for some reason, her saying that, like, I feel like that's interesting to me, because maybe RoboCop actually should not have a partner.
Well, no, of course he shouldn't. Like you said earlier, like every episode, people are shooting fucking energy weapons, and he's always like, behind me, Lewis. You know what I mean? It's just like, she's always just like, Murphy, ah! She's always like diving. She's always diving out of the way because people are shooting at RoboCop, and she's standing right next to him. And it's just like, you think her fucking Nerf armor is going to protect her against that shit? No.
Listen,
way.
Listen, Dave, cops have protocols for a reason. They got to have a partner.
But no, he's totally right. I mean, obviously the episode does the opposite, where it's just like RoboCop's energy is almost to nothing. He's facing imminent shutdown. They got him inside like a fucking press, and it's gonna squish him. But Lewis saves the day and does karate moves and.
Oh yeah, that's right. Lewis takes on like every single Vandal. She like goes Super Saiyan and just takes on every single Vandal at the end by herself.
Oh, she's fucking had it, man. Yeah, you got these fucking men like telling her what's what. You got this fucking cyborg man telling her he doesn't need her around.
Do you think that's part of this episode, that you have this Absolutely idea not. Of a male dominated society?
Absolutely not. I don't think that's what old Marv what's his face was trying to say with this episode. Well, maybe, I don't know.
Don't disrespect the creator of Blade like that. Oh my god.
Maybe that's in the episode, but again, I feel like any message that they're trying to say is just completely overridden by silliness.
Empty your pockets, man. I want everything, including the lint.
I got three more things I want to say about this episode. One is that when in the beginning, when they're on the train, I love how RoboCop actually like fools the bad guys. So, you know, they got Lewis captured, and then he's like, okay, you guys win or whatever. So he exits out, and then his arms just come through the ceiling and then like crash the two guys' heads together or whatever. Like, I was like, oh, super strength. That's so cool. Like, if I was a kid, I would have loved that scene, because that's something I could have done with my toy. Like, I could have reenacted that.
Well, that's one thing I love about this particular incarnation of RoboCop is that he's always walking through walls. He's always just breaking through walls and grabbing people.
Yeah.
It's like the big takeaway that the creators of this series took away from the movie. It was like, oh, that scene when he crashed through the wall and grabbed that guy was pretty cool. Let's have that in every episode.
But as a kid, that stuff was cool, because you could do that.
Absolutely.
You could build like a Lego set and then have your RoboCop figure break through those Legos.
Absolutely, for sure.
And then, another thing I really like is when they go to the arcade again. So RoboCop's like, give me information, whatever. And then you have this one thug who's like, oh, I'm going to take on RoboCop this time. And then you just have RoboCop crippling him by like squeezing his hand so hard.
Do you want this, Chrome Dome?
I repeat, where are the Vandals?
Okay, Mr. RoboCop. What do you want to know?
Where are the Vandals?
Oh, they was here, but they left hours ago. They said they had your chair.
Come on, Murphy. You're wasting your power on this punk.
But that was actually like, that scene was kind of brutal. So every time we get the brutality in this cartoon, I always kind of like light up, because I think it's like, I can't believe they did that. Or I think it's amusing that that's a kid's show or whatever. So that scene in particular was like kind of legit. So I like
that. I was expecting the moment when RoboCop leaves and the guy's like clutching his hurt hand. I was expecting it to do the Looney Tunes thing where it like plumps up like womp, 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 womp. I thought for sure they were going to go there, but they didn't.
Oh god, that would be funny if they did that, like, because they haven't done anything like that before yet. Like, but if they got some Looney Tunes stuff, or they had like little birds flying around if they get knocked out, that'd be fun.
You know, we're not done with this episode with this series yet. We're only halfway through. I wouldn't put it past them.
Oh my gosh, if they do that, that will be a highlight for sure. But there was one other thing I was going to say. It had something to do towards the end, but I don't really remember, so it's okay. But yeah, I like this episode a lot, actually. I think there's a lot, like, it's so busy, but it's all fun and it's all good. So I don't know. I know that you didn't like this episode, but I like this episode.
Well, here's the thing. And I wasn't bored watching this episode. I'll give it that. Like, I say this is probably my least favorite so far, like, I'll say this. For this series, like, even the lamer episodes have still been enjoyable. They've still been fun to watch. Like, I guess if I had to compare it with anything else, it would be lame. But, like... Maybe
I don't know,
I'm
for me, like, the,
fir-
the first two episodes that we watched are kind of just, like, whatever in my mind. Like, maybe that's because I still wasn't used to the cartoon yet or whatever, but I'm having a lot more fun with it. Oh, that was the thing. So the last thing I wanted to bring up was that for whatever, I mean, you know, we always get these situational things, like you mentioned, like, oh, they should be, they're doing things that they shouldn't be able to do or whatever, but in this episode, wherever the Vandals are hanging out at the end, like, it's like they have a big giant magnet on the ceiling. Like, for whatever reason, the impossibility of this of the logistics here, like, stood out to me. Like, and then they have this big compactor that I guess was inside. Like, I don't know, like, wherever they are, it just stood out to me, like, that's not possible. So,
well,
was
that
funny.
Their hideout, or I mean, did they just plant their new hideout inside an area that just happened to have those things?
Well, I think what they've said what the show has said is that there's so many abandoned buildings nowadays, and that's probably just another abandoned building. But it just stood out to me, like, they have a giant magnet on the ceiling. So, but yeah,
you know,
so
it's
that was
maybe you're
thing.
Right. I don't think I'm being fair to this episode. Like, compared to something like the first episode, Crime Wave, or maybe Scrambler. This is probably a better episode than those. Maybe what it is after this is following up Brotherhood, which I thought was a really funny episode. So I think maybe I'm just judging it a little harshly.
No, you're fine to judge it however you want. But I think I like this one. I just, like I said, there's just a lot going on. I think I was bursting out laughing when they broke the Vandals out of the prison. I'm like, oh my God, they have a whole tank.
So there's one, you mentioned brutality. There's one moment before they get broken out where Chainsaw Guy, like, breaks a spoon and he has, like, a shiv. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
McNamara again. I was like, holy fuck, a shiv.
Yeah, that's right. He breaks it on his food or whatever. He's like, I'm going to get him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't see anything happen, but the idea, like, in my mind, a shiv just conjures up horrible images. You know what I mean? Like, I just picture every gangster movie where someone gets shivved. I think of fucking Joe Pesci in Goodfellas, like, killing a guy with a pin or some shit.
Oh,
maybe
yeah,
that was
yeah,
Casino.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Maybe I'm mixing it up. But that's what I think of, and I'm like, that's pretty heavy stuff for a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that, but you're absolutely right. But, yeah, so kind of brutal.
So I guess you're right. Hot Seat is probably the most metal episode we've seen so far in the series.
Yeah, Death Spore is the most metal name, but this one I think is the most metal.
And we get the return of Robodog.
Oh, yeah. Gotta give credit where credit's due, Robodog. So I think Hot Seat is my favorite so far. And so we're halfway through the series, so it's a little tiny milestone that we've hit. So things that we're hoping to see in the future, things like Looney Tunes stuff, like, so birds flying around someone's head after they get knocked out, or a swollen hand or something like that. Maybe we'll get a Tom and Jerry theme going on where you have, like, a big mallet or something like that. Or maybe we'll get some Roadrunner and Coyote where we have, like, a fake tunnel built, painted on a wall. So who knows what we can get? Only the future can tell us. So we're entering a new dawn.
Well, maybe this isn't, maybe the title of this next episode is not a good idea, things to come. The Robopod will be back next time with No News is Good News.
Oh, it sounds so boring. That's what I say at work.
In your cages, you rats!
What's bugging Lewis? She get up on the wrong side of the bed?